You are listening to Radio Maria Canada, a Catholic voice wherever you are.
I've got no regrets. I wouldn't change a single day.
Psalm 25, verse 4. Make me to know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me. For you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all the day long. Well, brothers and sisters, we have now begun the first week of Advent. Welcome, everyone, to the Father's Quilt. I'm your host, Christina Doyle. Thanks again for joining us every Tuesday and Friday afternoon here on 1 o'clock till 1:30. The first act of spirituality is to wake up. Wake up to the path of holiness. Wake up to the goodness, the truth, and beauty that surrounds us and flows through us. Joseph the dreamer woke up from his dreams to a new world where he attended to God's will. Brothers and sisters, right now for many people, December is about preparing for Christmas, buying gifts, decorating trees, celebrating with family and friends, right? But the readings that begin Advent give us a different and a more challenging starting place, reminding us that we must prepare not only our homes, but our hearts for the arrival of Jesus Christ. The first reading from the prophet Isaiah draws attention, which is Isaiah chapter 2, verses 1 to 5. So that reading draws attention to the Lord's mountain in Jerusalem, Mount Zion. And in Israel's history, mountains are often places of divine encounter and instruction. And most notably, Moses receives the law on Mount Sinai. While reflecting on Mount Zion, Isaiah describes it as an elevated focal point that guides people to walk in the light of the Lord. Centuries later, Paul writes to a community in Rome, "Let us then throw off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light," which you would find in Romans chapter 13, seeking to convince his audience to live lives inspired by Christ. Paul, like Isaiah, uses light as a metaphor for living justly. These texts remind us to orient our lives toward the Lord. The gospel reading from Matthew that I wanted to share, also Matthew chapter 24, verses 37 to 44. The gospel reading there, the reading from Matthew, talks about the necessity of preparation in order to orient our lives towards God. This kind of preparation, stands in contrast to the comforting rituals of getting ready for the holiday season. Instead, Matthew depicts Jesus recalling a period filled with so much corruption and sin that the Lord destroyed the earth by a flood. And today, like Matthew's ancient audience, are probably unnerved by hearing such tales of destruction past. Why does Advent have such an ominous start? Even though Advent is leading up to the celebration of Jesus' birth, today also comes from the end of Matthew. Jesus tells the disciples to be vigilant, right? Because of the end, because the second coming of Christ is connected to a period of final judgment. Jesus declares that the disciples do not know when Christ will return, so they need to stay ready. In the liturgical context of Advent, this language reminds us to prepare for Christ's arrival, not only for Christmas, but at all times in our lives. The following chapter of Matthew gives guidance on how to prepare for the Lord. In the famous scene of judgment in Matthew chapter 25, Jesus tells his disciples that they have encountered him in the hungry, in the thirsty, in the stranger, the prisoner, and all those in need. Truly, he says, truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me. To prepare for the Lord, we must realize that the Lord is already with us. We need not wait until Christmas or the end of days to encounter Christ. We should see Christ in all people, especially those who are most vulnerable and in need of mercy and love. So we may sing, deck the halls, feast and be merry, but let us not forget that to truly prepare this Advent season, we must be guided by the light of Christ and see Christ in the people we encounter in our daily lives. Brothers and sisters, in Matthew chapter 8 and Isaiah chapter 2, especially Isaiah chapter 2, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of God of Jacob. We know very little about Joseph, except for his dreams and his journeys. And we meet Joseph on his way to Bethlehem as a refugee bound for Egypt and as a pilgrim visiting Jerusalem. And in his willingness to journey, Joseph overcame fear and uncertainty, and yet he was willing to go, willing to traverse hostile territory to walk the path of the Lord. Joseph's spiritual toolkit included the desire to seek paths of holiness, to be a sojourner. And like Jesus and the apostles, we too are called to journey through our life and not settle for anything less than holiness. For many of us, this journey is symbolic, particularly since we finally, especially during the pandemic when we've had travel restrictions right across the planet, Advent is a time to spiritually sojourn, to discern what is not holy in our lives, and to seek a better way, and to be like Joseph and Mary, heading for Bethlehem to move towards an even deeper holiness. God of the journey, disturb our complacency and guide us toward a deeper communion with you. Brothers and sisters, Advent is a beautiful time. It is a busy time for many families. Maybe some of you might even be traveling, which is really wonderful, you know? Well, I'm sure all of you have been hearing about how the supply chain issues have the potential to create a great squeeze this holiday season, right? Everything has gone up significantly, drastically. Mortgage rates, housing, well, not housing, but food, gas, housing has dropped. But in a normal year, it's so easy to get caught up in the fury and the frenzy of Christmas preparations. And right now, it feels like the world is only just amping up the potential for stress and chaos. The good news is we don't have to fall into the current. No matter what's going on around us, we can create a very special holy time for our family to grow together in faith. One of our primary goals is to make Advent a sacred time of preparation. That means that we pick and choose which cultural or secular aspects of the holiday that we participate in and try to lean more into our faith as each year goes by. It's okay that we look a bit different from the culture around us. It's good to make intentional choices with our family's goals in mind, right? Not to be watching what the pagan world wants you to think, right? Reporters will call the narrative. What's the narrative, right? It's not Jesus, obviously, right? It's shopping. It's the malls. It's craziness and parking, finding a parking spot. It's cooking and all of that, right? It all has its place, brothers and sisters, doesn't it? It all has its place. Not all these suggestions will be realistic for everyone, but I hope that some of the moms that are listening today might even find a few helpful ideas to explore with their families during this great, hopeful waiting, right? I've also found that things work best when I add only one or two new pieces at a time and accept that there will be some bumps along the way. And the years when I've tried to do many things at once or held too high expectations, well, you know, you've ended up veering off the course more than the years when I held in an open hand and focused on prioritizing and keeping things simple, right? So trying to keep things simple. So here to begin with, my dear brothers and sisters, let's keep 8 Christ-centered Advent family options, okay? So I know in some places you might find on December the 13th, the Feast of St. Lucy, you might visit a light display, right, on the feast, right? There might be a light show, something outside that the kids can go see. Even if it is Christmas trees, so what? It's beautiful, and you can tie in the light of God, the light of our faith, of how it is to be encouraged to shine through the darkness. Set up maybe even a good deeds manger, right? Set up an empty manger in a main room of the house and allow the kids to add pieces of straw. You could use, let's say, cut up yellow yarn, and add it to the manger throughout Advent whenever they act in love or of service. The goal is to make a soft bed for Jesus when he appears on Christmas morning, and then have a baby Jesus doll ready for the occasion, right? Isn't that precious? Even if you were to do it outside in your front lawn or in your backyard, you know, you could get real straw, you can get a bale of hay, right, and keep it on the side. You might try that. Enjoy a family dinner on Sunday nights. We often think about that, brothers and sisters. So many of us are, you know, busy, but let's take care of Sunday, right? Let's try and may encourage each other to have a dinner at home. You don't answer the phone. That's going to be your quiet family time. You don't have to have the radio blasting, the TV on, just a family dinner at home together, right? In the kitchen. It doesn't have to be in the dining room, right? But during Advent, you might want to have some Advent candles ready and make sure they're blessed by your parish priest before you light them. It's very important that they're blessed. And maybe some very soft kind of music playing on Sundays in your home. Next, build in room to breathe, okay? You look at the calendar ahead of time and you say, oh my goodness, look what I have to do. And of course, if your children are at school age children, then you might have Christmas concerts. I don't know if your schools even call that anymore. They're sometimes called a festival concert. They're sometimes the holiday concert, but oh my goodness, I'm hoping that it's called the Christmas concert. But anyways, so just schedule some time together as a family, maybe doing a holiday puzzle. Maybe you could buy one from Walmart or somewhere where it's not too expensive, or, you know, I mean, Amazon, you can order something and it comes the next day. But getting a family puzzle together, maybe not too overwhelming, right? Not so many pieces, but a beautiful puzzle that your family could do together. And maybe watching a seasonal movie, baking cookies, of course, singing Christmas carols, and so on. Blocking off that time helps keep things from feeling too chaotic. And it helps the children too, because, you know, they feel our anxiety, they feel our concern, they do feel it, right? Even your pets probably feel it too. I'm sure that even your dog or kitty, if you're anxious, they know it. They feel it too, I think. Foster a spirit of giving. Each year you might have the kids go through their belongings, you know, give them a box or a garbage bag, and set aside some toys and clothes to donate to others, right? Then maybe go together as a family and drop off the donations together at the Salvation Army, somewhere where you know for sure that they are going to be given to the rightful people. We also, you might even choose some, maybe some parishes have had an angel tree. I've even seen that, where there are tags of actual families who are in need in your local community. And then go together with your children and purchase Christmas presents for those in need. I did that. I remember we had in our area here, we had Zellers. And of course, Zellers is slowly coming back. But anyways, we went to the Christmas tree each year in Zellers, and the kids picked a tag from the tree, and we would look at it and buy gifts for that family or for those their children. And it gave us, it was so important to show our children, not to take everything for granted, but there are those who haven't got it as good as you, and that it's important that we share, that we are aware of those in need, that they're not somewhere else, that they are right here in your own community, maybe within their own classroom. So it's really important to have that global and community teaching for our children. And then you'll prepare the wise men. Well, when you set up your nativity, you might place the wise men in a faraway room of the house, right? Faraway room. Don't put them all together in the manger, right? So there they remain for the duration of Advent. Then starting on Christmas, the wise men begin a journey, taking them closer to the nativity each day until they arrive at Epiphany. It's cute, it's fun, and it's easy. And the kids love looking for them each morning when they wake up, right? So something fun and wonderful to do with the kids. Then save the Christmas music for Christmas. We cheat sometimes. I know I cheat a little when we go and visit a light show or we sing Christmas carols, but we mostly play Advent playlists around the house. I mean, radio stations have become notorious. They've begun, I hate to tell you, but they begin their Christmas carols, Christmas seasonal music, I think it's just right after Halloween. I mean, come on. You know, I mean, that's worse than the dollar store when they've already set up, Christmas decorations and Halloween hadn't even come to pass. So, and already you could see the Christmas decorations. So anyways, save the Christmas music until Christmas comes for a special change of pace. Then complete your shopping early if you can. That would be really helpful, wouldn't it? Right? And while sometimes I remember I mean, I was caught in this as I don't always do as I say, when, especially when it comes to Christmas shopping. And, you know, you can plan ahead and do as much as your Christmas shopping as you possibly can prior to the start of Advent. And sometimes we end up wrapping gifts during Christmas night, like just Christmas Eve. But it truly seems to help that rushed feeling of the 4 weeks prior to Christmas, you know. And talk about the things that they to your kids about what they would like, especially, well, I hope you have already, so that you have a good idea of what your children wanted. And maybe they already made that pretty clear to you, even maybe way back in October. Anyways, leave for some room for a few surprises in there, you know, for them, that, you know, whether it's in their stockings or something. And make sure you set aside time to shop, you know, as early as you possibly can. Well, especially this year, I buy usually a couple of boxes of Advent candles, and then you can get them through your parish. Usually the CWL offers them, and you can buy them through the CWL, which is really wonderful. So it's, you know, it's really helpful to keep in mind that the goal isn't to do all the things, right? But to create room for some beautiful family traditions to grow together with. There are things that I've tried and I've left behind, and others that we've enjoyed to the point of wanting to continue. But a bit of planning ahead can help Advent feel less like a time of reaction, more than a series of intentional movements together as a family, as we all await the birth of Jesus. So I hope that this really helps, because it's not, it is a busy time. By the way, how many of you even know what the meaning of Advent is? Well, did you know it means coming or arrival? So the focus of the entire season is the celebration of the birth of Jesus, right? In his first Advent, and the anticipation of the return of Christ, the King, in his second Advent. Thus, Advent is far more simply marking a 2,000-year-old event in history. It's celebrating a truth about God. It's the revelation of God in Christ, whereby all of creation might be reconciled to God. That is a process in which we now participate, and the consummation of what which we anticipate. Scripture reading for Advent will reflect this emphasis on the second Advent, including themes of accountability for faithfulness at his coming, judgment on sin, and the hope of eternal life. So, Advent also symbolizes the spiritual journey of individuals, right? And a congregation, as they affirm that Christ has come, that he is present in the world today, and that he will come again in power. That acknowledgement provides a basis for kingdom ethics, for holy living, arising from a profound sense that we live between the times and are called to be faithful stewards of what is entrusted to us as God's people. So, as the church celebrates God's inbreaking into history in the incarnation and anticipates a future consummation to that history, for which all creation is groaning, awaiting its redemption, it also confesses its own responsibility as a people commissioned to love the Lord your God with all your heart, and to love your neighbor as yourself. The spirit of Advent is a mark as a spirit of expectation, of anticipation, of longing. There is a yearning for deliverance from the evils of the world. And that was first expressed by the Israelite slaves in Egypt as they cried out from their bitter oppression. It is the cry of those who have experienced the tyranny of injustice in a world under the curse of sin, and yet who have hope of deliverance by a God who has heard the cries of oppressed slaves and brought deliverance. He hears your cry too, brothers and sisters. He hears it. He is listening. He's taking it all in. Trust him. It is that hope, however it's faint at times, that God even may sound distant. It may seem distant, but he brings to the world the anticipation of a king who will rule with truth and justice and righteousness over his people and in his creation. It is that hope that once anticipated and now anticipates anew the reign of an anointed one, a Messiah, who will bring peace and justice and righteousness to the world. Part of the expectation also anticipates a judgment on sin, calling and a calling of the world to accountability before God. We long for God to come and set the world right. Yet, as the prophet Amos warned, the expectation of a coming judgment at the day of the Lord may not be the day of light that we might want, because the penetrating light of God's judgment on sin will shine just as brightly on God's people. So, brothers and sisters, that's what it means for all of us. You know, we are preparing ourselves, we are preparing our hearts and our minds as we stand in the presence of God during Mass, during adoration. You know, if you have time to spend some time in adoration at your church or in front of the Blessed Sacrament, maybe you have a beautiful statue of Blessed Mother, the Holy Family, is to spend some time quiet your heart. I know maybe the kids are downstairs, but even if you can give yourself a few minutes every day for those of you who are working full time and just don't have that time. So may God truly bless you on this beautiful journey that we call Advent. Be a happy Catholic. Share your faith readily. I am excited that this is my first Advent as a Legionnaire, and I am so happy that I joined the Legion of Mary and made my consecration to our Blessed Mother way back in, and let me just make sure I get that date. Oh, yes, August the 3rd. There you go, August the 3rd. So blessed our listeners, I just pray that you have a fantastic Christmas, and we'll journey together as we go through Advent together. And remember, some of the broadcasts are going to be a little different. They're not going to be so traditional, but I pray that you find them enlightening, and I pray that you find them inspiring, and that your own journey is encouraged, and may you also grow in holiness and seek the peace of God in your hearts, because he's right there for us. He's just waiting for each of us. So thank you. Let's do a Hail Mary together before we leave, because we have much to be thankful for. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. I've got no